Let me ask you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to read from verses 12 through 25. So at home, if you've got your Bible, let me encourage you to open it as we read the Holy Scriptures this morning. We're continuing in our study in Matthew, and today come to this last section in Matthew 4, verse 12. Now, when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Amen. Wonderful portion of Scripture. Our mission at Calvary is being and making authentic followers of Jesus Christ. But what is an authentic follower of Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus? What are the implications of following Jesus? And how would I know whether or not I am an authentic follower of Jesus? Well, our passage this morning answers these very important questions. Previously in our series in Matthew, we've learned about the birth of Jesus, his baptism and his temptation. Now his ministry in Galilee to the north of Israel begins after John's arrest. We're told that Jesus leaves his hometown of Nazareth, there you see it, to the north in the region of Galilee. And although he's brought up in Nazareth, he lives as a kind of center of his ministry in Capernaum, which according to Matthew chapter 9, verse 1, becomes his own city. Capernaum, this little town right on the Sea of Galilee, in the northwest of the Sea of Galilee, is in the region, we're told, of Zebulun and Naphtali, and is near a major highway. So although it's a relatively small town, it's a very important town. And this, says Matthew in verse 14, was in fulfillment of the prophecy of what we know as Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2, the people living in darkness had seen a great light. Those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. How wonderful in this area of spiritual darkness to people who are living in the very shadow of death, the glorious light of the gospel comes. Jesus comes as the light of the world to dispel the darkness. And it's described here in verse 16 as a great light. Have you seen that light? See, all of us are in spiritual darkness. And Jesus is calling on us to repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But because we're in spiritual darkness, we are unfit for the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, we must repent. And this passage tells us that Jesus is calling all kinds of people from all kinds of places. We saw in verse 25 that there are people from Galilee. from the Decapolis, from Jerusalem, Judea, and even from beyond the Jordan. No one is excluded. Even we read in Galilee of the Gentiles. Yes, this message, the message of the gospel, is not just to a little group of people. It is throughout this region, and in fact, as Matthew is going to explain, it is a message which embraces the whole world. No one is excluded. It is true, all of us are unfit for the kingdom of heaven, but here is the good news that Jesus is presenting, that all are welcome into the kingdom of heaven if we repent of our sins, if we through faith embrace Christ as our Savior, because Matthew is presenting Jesus as the Messiah, as the Christ, as the Son of God, as the King. And so he calls these four men, as we read, to be authentic followers of him. But what does that mean? First of all, disciples, very basically and very obviously, disciples follow King Jesus. Here by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus calls four men to follow him. He preaches repentance. He announces that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We see that in verse 17. Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." We read in 23, as he went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, he is proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. This is a magnificent announcement that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, after saying that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, don't you agree, on the face of it, it seems rather anticlimactic that he calls four ordinary people? One would have thought something dramatic was going to happen, some great demonstration of the glory of God. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yes, it is. And he calls four ordinary fishermen. But this is how God works, calling ordinary people to follow King Jesus. Did you get that? That Jesus is calling Peter, Andrew, James, and John, ordinary fishermen, well known in their hometown, out making a living in the Sea of Galilee, nothing spectacular, not highly educated, simple fishermen. But this is how Jesus is going to spread the gospel. I want to contrast that with what has been called the New Apostolic Reformation movement, which seeks to restore apostles and prophets to the church. Christianity Today in January of this year had an article about them, and it says, I quote, "Many Christians in this movement believe God is appointing people into these high positions in government. He will use them to supernaturally make America or the world into the kingdom of God." Is that what Jesus is teaching? Is that the gospel? That Jesus is taking people who are in high positions in government in order to make America and the world into the kingdom of God? Not at all. That's not what this text says. No, we don't make this world into the kingdom of God. Jesus says in John 18, "My kingdom is not of this world." Here is the response of King Jesus and the coming of the kingdom of heaven. Repent before God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, from following your personal agenda, your ambition, whatever it is you are following in life, there is a turning from that, and now you are following King Jesus, because Jesus is the King. He announces the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He, the King, has come. He leads, and we follow. Now notice how wonderful this is. It is Jesus who does the calling. A disciple hears the call of Jesus and obeys. Because this call is not just to the cause of Christ or the teaching of Christ or the example of Christ. It's more than that. The call is to the person of Christ. I am to follow Jesus. Cults blindly follow their charismatic leaders. Groupies follow celebrities. But here is the challenge that comes to you and me today. Notice what it is in verse 9. He said to them, follow me. That's it. That's it. Authentic discipleship. And the essence of the Christian faith, here it is. It is following Jesus in a continuing and a personal relationship. I'm not just agreeing with doctrine. I'm not joining a church. I'm not just saying I'm going to do this for Jesus. No, it is fundamentally, first and foremost, that I am saying, as I hear the call of Jesus, I will follow Jesus. I'm following the person of Jesus in this wonderful, personal, growing, vibrant relationship. Do you hear his call today? Follow me. This call is personal. Jesus says in John 10, in the wonderful chapter of the Good Shepherd, that the Good Shepherd calls his sheep by name. John, follow me. Susie, follow me. Peter, follow me. Andrew, follow me. This is the call of Jesus, a supernatural call where we hear the voice of God, follow me. Are you following Jesus? Have you repented? Have you come to the cross of Christ and understood that the Savior of the world has come to die on the cross for your sins, and that through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, there is eternal life offered to you? And as I follow Jesus then, there is a radical change of direction in my life. Are you really following Jesus? Are you still following your own desires, your own pleasures, your own agenda, your own plans, your own comfort? The Christian life begins with this fundamental change. I turn from my sins and I turn to Christ. Instead of following the ambition and the desires of John Monroe, I am now following Jesus Christ. You say, where is he going to lead? I don't know. That's the trust. The trust. We're singing about it. Whatever the cost, wherever he leads, my responsibility is to follow him. He is the Christ. He's the King. He's the Commander-in-Chief. He's the Lord of glory. I am to follow him. And it begins with this turning from my sin and a following of Christ. And then there is this personal transformation in our hearts and lives that disciples are committed followers of Jesus. Did you notice in verse 20, Peter and Andrew? They immediately left their nets and followed him. I don't know if I'd have done that. I think I might have said, let's talk about this, Jesus. No. Immediately they left their nets. James and John did the same thing, the text says. Immediately, verse 22, they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus, leaving aside their personal ambitions and their agenda and following Jesus. What's the point? When Jesus calls you, you follow immediately. This is the, Paul describes it as the obedience of faith. Following Jesus is the very opposite of a life of self-determination and self-absorption. It is following Jesus irrespective of the cost. During the end of a job interview, the CEO asked a newly qualified young engineer, what starting salary are you looking for? The engineer said, well, in the neighborhood of $200,000 a year, depending on the benefits package. The CEO said, well, what would you say to a package of 5 weeks vacation, 14 paid holidays, full medical and dental, company matching retirement fund to, say, 50% of your salary, and a company car leased every 2 years, say, a red Corvette? The young engineer sat up straight and said, whoa, are you kidding? Yes, said the CEO, but you started it. Is that what we think when we're going to follow Jesus? That we're going to follow Jesus to increase your bank balance? That you're going to follow Jesus to have a more comfortable life? I heard of a contemporary church challenging its congregation to tithe. Of course we should give. We've done that this morning. But in their card, they say this, when we bring our first and best back to God. They're talking about finances. He promises to bless the rest of our finances for our lives. And they go on to say, if you do that, if you tithe, and if after 30 days you feel God hasn't blessed you, you can ask the church for a refund. Unbelievable, isn't it, what goes on in churches today? Is that what Jesus is saying? Like some kind of used car salesman, well, try the car. If it doesn't work, come back and you get your money back. Is that the kind of commitment that Jesus is asking? Try it out, try Jesus. No, you don't try Jesus. These disciples didn't say, I'm going to follow you provided you can guarantee that I'm healthy and wealthy. We'll follow you, Jesus, provided you can guarantee that we'll be the wealthiest fishermen in the Sea of Galilee. No, they leave everything. Jesus is going to say in the Gospels, if you seek to find your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. Here's an important point. You follow Jesus on his terms, not yours. Now, if you're like me, you think you can do a deal with Jesus. I'll follow you if you guarantee this, a kind of negotiation. You don't do that. You don't negotiate with Jesus. You follow him unreservedly on his terms, not yours. And that's what it means to be an authentic follower of Jesus Christ. The priority of disciples is to follow Jesus unreservedly and obediently. We sang, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. That means when it's tough and when it's difficult and when I'm in the dark valley and when I'm wondering if I can continue, I'm still going to follow Jesus. Why? Because of who he is. And anything or anyone claiming a higher affection or allegiance or authority in our life is to be rejected. And I think it's wonderful that so often Jesus calls us where we are. What were the disciples doing? They were fishing. Here's Matthew collecting taxes. That God so often calls us in our daily lives as we are serving him. This is living by faith. I ask you again, have you heard his call? Note the key aspects in following Jesus. A vital, personal relationship with Jesus. To know Jesus, and a commitment to Jesus. We're faced with this coronavirus. So easy to panic, isn't it? So easy to say, well, things may never be the same again. Perhaps they're not, I don't know. But whatever the crisis, whether it's a national crisis, personal crisis, family crisis, church crisis, we are always to follow Jesus. This is living for Jesus. And as we do that, we're assured that we will know his peace. First then, disciples follow King Jesus. Secondly, disciples learn from King Jesus. The disciples spent time with Jesus, in their case, for over 3 years. See, the challenge of discipleship is not just to follow Jesus, but it is to learn from Jesus. At the moment of our conversion, we begin to follow Jesus, but discipleship is also a learning process. Now, if you know anything about the Gospels, you know that these disciples, in fact, all of them, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and the rest of them, they were sometimes very slow learners, sometimes afraid, sometimes characterized by unbelief. Sometimes they didn't seem to be listening very closely to the teaching of Jesus. Sometimes they were arguing among themselves, which of them was the greatest. Sometimes they'd hard hearts. In other words, they were very much like you and me. But whatever you say about them, they continued to follow Jesus. They hear his teaching and preaching, and they understand that never man spoke like this man. He spoke not as the scribes and Pharisees, but with authority. In verses 23 through 25, we read about his mighty miracles and his actions, how he healed all the sick and cast out the demons, was able to deal with people having seizures and people who were paralyzed. He healed them all. They saw that. They were in the boat when he calmed the storm and said, what kind of man is this that even the winds and the ways, obey him. They didn't learn all at once, but they understood that no one ever spoke like him. And they understood that no one had the authority over disease and of death like Jesus. Yes, he is Almighty God. And yes, he is sovereign over all diseases, including the coronavirus. Therefore, trust him. You see, authentic disciples, and I have to challenge you as I challenge myself on this, authentic disciples have a deep desire to learn. I remember when I graduated from law school, I went to work with attorneys, and in those days, long, long ago, we called the lawyers that we were being trained under the masters. Sounds very patronizing, doesn't it? But I worked for these masters. I signed a contract. It was saying, you think you're pretty smart? I did. I did pretty well at law school. I've got all my head full of law. But I was quickly to find out I didn't know as much as I thought. I had to learn from the masters. And the senior partner, in the providence of God, took me under his wing. He was with retirement age. He was going to retire fairly soon. And he treated me so kindly. And he was a brilliant lawyer. And I've made many mistakes in life, but one of the smart things I did was I spent as much time as I could with this man. He would sometimes come into my office and we would have a cup of coffee together. If he was going to court, I would go. He liked me to drive, and we'd go to court, and I would listen to him. When he was with clients, I would see how he spoke to them, how he interacted, and I kept asking questions. Why? I wanted to learn. I wanted to learn from a master lawyer, a man who had been practicing law for many, many years, and I wanted to learn. Disciples ask questions. See, to stop learning is to stagnate. I've worked with a lot of people over my life. You can almost put them into two categories. There's the person who never asks a question. They think they know it all. They are whether too insecure or whether too proud, they can never say, can you help me here? They don't become very good. They stay at a certain level. There's others who want to learn. Yes, they fall down. Yes, they make mistakes. And as followers of Jesus, how important it is that we never, ever stop growing. Disciples who are learning are growing. I trust, although I've followed Jesus for many, many years, I'm still a learner. Be a learner. Think of that wonderful passage in Matthew 11. Where Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart. And you'll find rest for your souls. Jesus invites us to come and to learn of him. And this is one of the marks of the authentic follower of Jesus. This is not a passive process. Being a disciple is active, is dynamic, is exciting. Now, if you've just begun to follow Jesus, don't be discouraged. Perhaps you're in a life group, a Bible study, and it seems that everyone there knows their Bible much better than you do. Don't be discouraged by that. Have a desire to grow, to ask questions, to spend time with Jesus. That's why I think how important it is that we know the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to see Jesus, to listen to his words, to see him in action, to be daily in prayer asking for his help, to be frequently in the company of other disciples who help us learn and grow. That's why at Calvary Church we emphasize fellowship and community so important through life groups, through Bible studies, through discipleship, through personal interaction, and how important it is, whatever our age, that we're teachable. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Be humble. When my son was at high school and he came home, I used to say to him, did you ask any good questions today? Oh, I don't know, Dad. If you're a teacher, you know you want students to ask good questions. That's the way you learn. If you're learning a sport, if you're learning an instrument, you're coming to the master and saying, how can I improve? How can I sing better? How can I play better? How can I kick that ball better? How can I hold that club in such a way that I can hit that little ball further? There's a teachability, isn't there? That certainly should be true of every follower of Jesus. Disciples follow King Jesus. They learn of King Jesus. Third, they serve King Jesus. Did you notice this verse 19? He said to them, can you hear it? Some of you have been to the Sea of Galilee, that beautiful Sea of Galilee. You can picture it, can't you? Jesus walking along the seashore, and he sees these men. Here's the challenge. Here's the command. Follow me. That's not all that he says. And I will make you fishers of men. He calls four disciples to be fishers of men. Before Jesus calls them, they're fishers of fish. But Jesus had plans and purposes for them that they could never, ever have imagined. Little did they know as they began to follow Jesus what lay ahead, that God was going to use them to turn the world upside down, that they were going to be his mighty apostles. Yes, these ordinary fishermen, God was going to use them in a profound way, in a world-shattering way that we have recorded in Scripture. These insignificant, ordinary disciples. Isn't this exciting? As you follow Jesus, you don't know where he's going to lead. Galil, Alyssa, you're following Jesus down to New Smyrna Beach, Florida. Do you think you know how God is going to use you? You may have some ideas, you may pray, you may have some concept. The wonderful thing is, as you keep following Jesus, as you keep learning of him, as you have a desire to serve him, you have no idea. I have no idea how God will use you. Isn't that wonderful to know? Students, as you follow Jesus, you think, what can someone like me do? I have no idea. But Jesus, you see, does as only he can. He's God. He uses our skills, our training, our resources, our education, and our personality, and he puts that all together, as it were. And as we follow him, he uses all of that, and most of all, the filling of the Spirit for his glory, that fishers of fish become fishers of people. You see, discipleship is not an end in and of itself. The call is not just to follow, but to follow to become, to be molded and shaped by the master, just as I, as a young attorney, needed to be molded and admonished and encouraged and rebuked sometimes under the care of a master lawyer. Here is our sovereign God. He takes you, and he says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Because the disciples were not only with Jesus, he then sent them out from him. We're going to read at the end of Matthew that he says, go therefore and make disciples of all of the nations. Yes. What has happened? A disciple is being trained, is being equipped, is being transformed to serve Jesus. Authentic followers of Jesus are called to serve. Can I challenge those of you who have been following Jesus for a long time? You may have a lot of Bible knowledge. You may love to go, what you think, deep into the world. You may even brag about how deep you know the Bible. You may enjoy Christian fellowship and community. I hope you do. But let me say this. If studying the Scriptures, if being with your fellow believers doesn't result in you serving Jesus and others, there's a problem. An authentic follower certainly follows Jesus, certainly learns from Jesus, but also serves Jesus and others. Do you know why the Dead Sea is called dead? There's no life in it. There's no outlet. It takes in water from the Jordan, but it's dead, no life. Sometimes I fear some Christians are like that. They love to learn. They love to fill their notebooks. They love to be with Christians. They love to sing. And that is central part of the Christian faith. All of that's important. But we must not forget this, that we are called to serve. I am to learn of Jesus so that I may serve him. That's one of our themes for 2020. Serve your Lord, serve him. And the wonderful thing is disciples serve in different ways. Perhaps I'm stretching a bit here, but my fellow pastors will excuse me, I'm sure. Peter and Andrew, it says, were casting their nets into the sea. They were to become outstanding evangelists. Who stands up on the day of Pentecost and preaches to the thousand? It's Peter. He's a great evangelist. He preaches and 3,000 souls are saved. What about his brother Andrew? Andrew, it seems, is a quieter brother. But just about every time we read of Andrew in the New Testament, he's bringing someone to Jesus. He's the one that brings the little boy to Jesus with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. You and I might have overlooked him. Perhaps Peter and others are looking at the big crowd, but Andrew's the kind of individual who connects with people one-on-one. Evangelists. Very different, but both authentic followers of Jesus. Here are James and John. When we meet them, they're mending their nets. And Jesus is going to call them. And under his care, they're going to become outstanding shepherds and leaders in the early church. They're going to give great leadership. John is this great apostle of love. And so God, in his grace, calls different people, ordinary people with different personalities, different gifts, different backgrounds, and uses them in his purposes. You see, we're called by Jesus, not on the basis of who we are, but what in his grace and with his strength we will become. I'll make you fishers of men. Who does the making? Jesus. You say, I'm not ready for the task. Of course you're not. Even Paul says, who's adequate for these things? Think of all Paul's giftedness. His answer, who's adequate for these things? Oh, our adequacy is Christ. We sang in that beautiful song, it's not I, but it's Christ who lives in me. So Paul can say of the apostles, we're just clay pots. We're just jars of clay so that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. Don't you find this tremendously encouraging, but also very humbling to know that God has wonderful plans and purposes for your life, students? Isn't this incredible to think? That when Jesus calls us, he calls us for a purpose. As Eric Liddell, the Scottish athlete and missionary, said, God made me for a purpose, and God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. Yes, God calls all of us for a purpose. Follow Jesus. Be humble. Learn of Jesus. Serve Jesus. And he uses us in ways we can never, ever imagine. I could testify that in my own life, and many of you could. That life takes, from our perspective, an unforeseen turn, a strange seeming diversion, perhaps a difficult one, but it's all in the Master's plan. You see, when we follow Jesus, life is never the same again. We're called to become touched and changed by the Master's hand. There's a hymn that we sometimes pray, mold me, make me, use me, fill me. You ever prayed that? Lord, make me. Make me a servant. Follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men, an apostle of love. Here is discipleship, a life of faith following King Jesus. Do you hear the voice of Jesus today? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Will you turn from and confess your sins? A change of mind leading to a change of action and attitude. And to enter the kingdom of heaven, then, you must repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. John In John 3, we read that Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you cannot enter, you can't see the kingdom of God. Have you repented? You see, if you're in the kingdom of God, all is well. There's no need to panic. That's why in terms of this present pandemic, as the followers of Jesus, we're not to panic. My life is in his hands. I'm in the kingdom of God. Eternal life is guaranteed, not because of what I've done, but what Christ has done. And in his grace, he's given me eternal life, and I'm a son of God. I'm not to panic. I don't know the future. No, I am just to continue to humbly follow Jesus. I'm to continue to learn of Jesus. I'm to continue to be open to serve him. So I ask you, is your life reflecting Jesus Christ? Are the principles of the kingdom of God permeating your life? Jesus is going to tell us what they are in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 as we learn. Today, hear the call of Jesus. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Answer the call. Be an authentic disciple. Follow Jesus. Learn of Jesus. Serve Jesus. I heard him call, come follow. That was all. My gold grew dim. My soul went after him. Who would not follow if they heard him call? Did you hear him call? Let me ask you, just at home, to bow quietly. Some of you are watching alone. Some of you are with your family. Just bow. Those of you here in the sanctuary, would you just bow your head? And afresh, can you hear the call of Jesus? Follow me. Follow me. Will you answer that call? Our Father and our God, we thank you for the clarity of the call of Jesus. We've heard it unmistakably afresh. We're privileged that you would call us. Ordinary boys and girls and men and women, nothing special in and of ourselves, but called to follow King Jesus. May even now, some here in this sanctuary, many at home, many traveling, listening, that they will answer the call and say, I will follow Jesus. Give them humility, Father, to turn from their sin and to embrace Christ. And may we, in these days of confusion in society and uncertainty and of fear and of panic, may we be steadfast. May we be people not of fear but of faith, because we've heard the call of Jesus and we're following him, and we know that one great day he will lead us right into his eternal presence and we'll be with him throughout the countless ages of eternity. Meantime, help us to be faithful and to love him and to serve him with all of our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.